Yeah, I am quiet. Hello, everybody. I think most of you know my story. I started off just like everybody else. I was a time card Christian. I didn't do anything wrong. I went to church when I was supposed to, acted like I was supposed to. You wouldn't have been disappointed in me. I didn't go to beer joints. I didn't try to start a fight in every bar in town. And, you know, I was a pretty nice guy. But that's what I was, a time card Christian. When I began in 68 and 69 and 70, when I was the junior high principal over at White House, Tennessee, I had some time. Sometimes, and I guess it was odd to everybody that I had the Bible here and a concordance over here, but I didn't care. I wanted to know things. I wanted to know if the earth was 6,000 years old or billions of years old. I wanted to know. I wanted to know about dinosaurs. Have you ever thought about dinosaurs? You know, where they fit? Did you really believe they were on the ark? No. They could not have been. I found out that the earth is billions of years old. That dinosaurs were millions of years ago because we use carbon-14 tests and all kinds of mercury tests. We have it almost definite that they lived. And yet, here comes this huge curtain where all the dinosaurs died in just a matter of days. And then on the other side of this curtain of time are mammals. That proves to me that God exists. There's no metamorphosis. There's no transition, no transitory stage, no evolving. It's boom, boom. God is real. Now, this is not where I want to go necessarily, but it will lead to where I should be today. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That created is a different word than you'll find again. And then the earth was void or became follows that. What happened? Well, I can tell you, I think there was a spiritual war because there were three dinosaur periods and it was just based on all the different kinds of dinosaurs. We haven't had dinosaurs in millions of years. And then God created man. It was just a continuance, a different word for creation. And why was there light and darkness before he created the moon, the sun and the moon? You ever thought about that? It's because the earth was knocked off its rotation. And the whole, I mean, that's the reason why you see pock marks flying everywhere, is this war with the devil. Now you say to me, Colin, that's a little far out for me. Let me ask you a question. Who's the bad guy in the Garden of Eden? Well, who was it? Satan. If he's the bad guy in the Garden of Eden, and he was an angel, he must have been bad before the Garden of Eden, right? Now, here's another question for you. You always hear sermons that the devil doesn't like you. I mean, that's a dime a dozen sermons. The devil doesn't like you. You go, yeah, he doesn't like me. But why does he not like you? That's a seminal question, isn't it? Sometime we'll deal with that. Next Sunday, though, I want to try to get you to come back as we're going to talk about the devil. We're going to try to put some flesh and blood on this spiritual, unusual creature who doesn't like you for a particular reason. There's a reason why he didn't like you. That's the reason why he rebelled against the holy God with one-third of the angels and that world that we knew before Adam was all destroyed. But the earth is billions of years old. Don't let it, you can't go around saying it's 6,000 years old. Mankind is. Don't fool yourself. The earth is old. And the devil goes back no telling how far. And he's intelligent and he's beautiful. He doesn't have horns and he's not part goat. that lustful creature called a satyr in pagan mythology. Nah, forget that stuff. But today I want to bring up another matter to you before we get into Micah, the last part of Micah, and then the beginning of Isaiah. Something that I think that you might be interested in. Something that I hear all the time that I used to wrestle with, but I don't anymore. And it's this. I was in my office in White House, Tennessee in 1968 in the junior high principal's office, and the principal, Billy Hobbs, I don't know if some of y'all know Dr. Billy Hobbs from White House or not. Anyway, he gave me a call on the intercom, and I could tell by the way the conversation going, it wasn't a jurisdiction thing, you know, senior boy hits junior high boy on bus. That one wasn't anything like that. I could tell it's more personal. So I go up to see him, you know, when school is out, and we sit down, and he's sitting over there, and I'm sitting over here, and he shows me a sheet of paper, and it's a letter from a lady. And in this letter, she states, Dr. Hobbs, and to the Baptist church there in White House, and to the, I don't know what they called their word for elders, but anyway, that was on there. Might have been shepherds. But anyway, she has this letter, and she says, I am resigning from the White House Baptist Church. And the reason I am resigning is because my son, she's talking about her son who had gone off the road on Highway 31, the old Highway 31 for the interstate, had lodged between two trees, had caught on fire, and he had burned to death. And she puts in the letter, I no longer can worship a God, go to a church where God is worshiped that would allow my son to burn to death. And he looked at me and he said, what do I say to this? And I sat there for a moment because I knew some things. I knew her son. I knew he was driving too fast. He had bald tires. It was raining. He was drinking. He caromed off the road, and his car got caught between the trees, and he burned to death. But to her, God became the fall guy. We do that, you know. People like to smoke, but they don't like cancer. They don't like emphysema. God, take it away. I'm praying to God that he'll take away this, but you know. People like to drink, but they don't like DUIs. They don't like DWIs. They don't like breaking up a home. They don't like losing their job. God, take that away. Help me with this effect. People like sex. They do not like unwanted pregnancies, STDs. Your girlfriend or your boyfriend telling you, I'll leave your husband or your wife. Or else, you don't want any of those problems, and you ask God to forgive you. This story is kind of redundant to the first story, but I'm going to tell it anyway because redundancy is part of teaching. It's a true story. It's not a preacher-teacher story, not one that I fabricated, one that you can look up online. It was in the Miami Herald, a little boy named Timmy, 9 years old, 1971 or two. His little brother had walked out into the street there in the Miami area, got hit by a car, and was in a coma. Timmy writes this tender letter to God. He gets down on his knees every night. His parents take a picture of him. He's praying for his little brother who was hit by the car. He writes this tender letter. He goes down to the Catholic Church. He puts the letter on the altar saying, God, please heal my little brother. But the little brother died. Timmy was angry. And they did a story on his anger. He's mad at God. But just like the boy from White House, there's some things missing there. Was there a fence? Was he taught not to walk into the street? You know? They leave that part out, but God becomes the fall guy. Let's pretend this way. You know, let's pretend this way. Let's say that this guy is in a bar, and this cigarette that he's going to smoke will be the cigarette that will burn off the last cilia in his lungs, that will cause a spot, will cause a lesion that will lead to lung cancer. And Jonathan's got up here like this, but he can't get the cigarette to his mouth. An invisible force holds him. He can't get that cigarette. He's trying so hard. The bartender runs around, and they're all trying to get that cigarette in his mouth, but they can't do it. And the guy's frustrated, and he's angry because he wants that cigarette. Here's another guy. This is the bourbon and water that will send him over the edge alcohol-wise. His alcohol level will be so high that it will impede his judgment, and he will be involved in a car wreck, which result in a divorce, which result in a loss of his job, which result in a lot of other things when he kills somebody in a car wreck. But before he has that, he's trying to get that drink up there, but there's another force that will not let him drink that liquor, George. He can't get to it. They tilled him up, and he still can't get to it. It's just impossible. There's a force that keeps him from doing it. Let's say that you're at home and you got a big old white beans and you got a big slab of ham in there. There's Big Joy Seals with that big oversized spoon. He's like this, you know, he's got the bib on, you know. There's Big Joy, and he's going to go like that. But a hand stops you from getting that, because that is the meal that will result in you getting a stent. Mark Hayes comes home. He's been dealing with morons all day long. He's tired. He wants to sit in, watch the SEC Network, watch that Alabama-Ohio State replay. He's sitting there. And all of a sudden, a couple of invisible hands grab him, slam him up on that walker, that glider. That, you know, he's up there, you know, he's ready to go. That stepper, he's ready to go. Sets him for a 2-mile run or walk. And there's Mark going like this. He didn't want to be up there. He's sweating. Folks, do you realize the story that I'm trying to get over to you is the same people that say, God, why do you allow blindness? Why do you allow murder? Why do you allow war? Would be saying, please get out of our lives. Now, wouldn't you? You know why? Because since the beginning of time, we've been free moral agents. God loves you and me, but you are a free moral agent. You make your own decisions. There are things that happen that cause a person sometimes to doubt their faith. That happens. I remember when Mark Hayes' mother died. Oh, man, that was tough on all of us. On his dad, but it was also really hard on me and his close friends. We took that very hard, but it did not cause us to lose faith. Anyway, I wanted to pass that on to you, because sometimes people say, why does God not allow? But I want to remind all those folks, and you too, it wasn't God who invaded Poland in 1939. It wasn't God who invaded Manchuria in 1931. It wasn't God who gassed and killed all those millions of Jews. It wasn't God. Think about that. But there'll be a day coming. And we've been talking about it. The Messiah will return. And that's another thing, see. I used to think that Jesus would come back, sheep would go to heaven, goats burn. But as I began to read the prophets, I saw a different kind of paradise. It changed to me. It became more real. And I believe to be the truth. I'm going to read you now from Micah 2. I don't have my glasses, but I think I can read without it. Micah 2, how terrible it will be for those who lie awake and plan evil when morning comes. As soon as they have the chance, they do the evil they planned. And in verse 5, he says, and so then when the time comes for the land to be given back to the Lord's people, there will be no share for you, the people, it says, they got on to him for this. But he goes on to say this in verse 12, but I will gather you together, all you people of Israel. Notice Israel. Remember that all Jews are Israelites, but not all Israelites are Jews. You people of Israel that are left, I will bring you together like sheep returning to the fold, like a pasture full of sheep. Your land will once again be filled with many people, and it has since 1948, right? Now we know that, and it's God is. Now I want to read you something else too. It says in chapter 4 is really a messianic chapter. Chapter 4 and Isaiah 2 are identical. I don't know if you know that or not. They're exactly the same. Shows that they knew each other. They live at the same time. 24 miles apart. I don't know who copied who. I don't think they considered it copying. He probably said, Isaiah said to Micah, I'd like to borrow that. And I think that's probably how it happened. I think Isaiah borrowed it from Micah. But here we go. Talking about the messianic period, the period that you and I long for, when there'll be no more tears. In the days to come, the mountain where the temple stands will be highest, will be the highest one of all, towering above all the hills. Many nations will come streaming to it. Now, folks, you know that has to be the end of time. And the people will say, let us go to the hill of the Lord, to the temple of Israel's God. For he will teach us what he wants us to do, and we will walk in the paths he has chosen. For the Lord's teaching comes from Jerusalem, from Zion he speaks to his people. In verse 3, for he will settle disputes among the nations, among the great powers near and far. They will hammer their swords into plows and their spears into pruning knives. Nations will never again go to war. Never prepare for battle again. Everyone will live in peace among his own vineyards and fig trees, and no one will make him afraid. And the clincher of the Lord Almighty has promised this. Wow. Isn't that an amazing thing? So let's go back now real quickly, and then let's finish off with a nice quote from Micah that I mentioned the last time. The prophets are never wrong. They don't ever miss. Micah predicted the Assyrians would conquer Israel. Well, that happened. Some of you say, that's not such a biggie. I probably could have predicted that. Okay. He predicts that Jesus or the Messiah will be born in Bethlehem. I'd say that's pretty big. That's the one the Magi or the magicians followed. You remember? They got that out of the book of Daniel, which was in their library in Chaldea. I think it was the 7th chapter of Daniel. They must have read these magi, these sorcerers. And they came, and they read the book of Micah in the court of Herod the Great. So Micah predicts that. He predicts that the Babylonians will come. And I think I told you the last time, I'd be like Joy Seals predicting something great from Millersville. It just was astounding to these people. They go, whoa! Because at that time, Babylon was nothing. And then he also predicts, not only will the Babylonians come, the temple will be destroyed, and the temple hill will be plowed. And shrubbery or evergreens, or it depends on your version, will grow on it. And I think I told you the Babylonians come, but they didn't plow the hill. Somebody went, ha-ha! Romans came in AD 70, plowed the hill. Didn't sound so much. They got it. He covered it all. If I told you that These men predicted that Babylon, which one of the largest cities on the face of the earth, would be destroyed someday and be a swamp, that nobody would ever spend the night there. They'd be afraid to. And you went over there and you saw it was exactly like they said. I mean, it's a nice piece of real estate. Saddam Hussein wanted to rebuild it, but they don't. Nineveh, same thing. Nahum and all the others said it's going to be destroyed. Even said it was destroyed by fire, and some people said no. When they dug it up, they found out that it was destroyed by fire. Ezekiel promised that Egypt would be the basis of nations. At that time, Egypt was strong. We think of Egypt today kind of like Peru. Nothing. Their gross national product would, I mean, there's counties in Rhode Island that could keep up with Egypt. It's nothing. Ezekiel promised that the city of Tyre, man, it was New York City. It was huge. Pardon me. He said that someday the city would be leveled out and the walkway to the city would be a place where fishermen cast their nets. Guess what? Try me out. Guess what happens there today? Fishermen are casting out their nets. Now, if these prophets are right about each individual thing, they're not wrong. And they predict the Messiah, that Israel will be restored again, and it is. I think I've told you they've had 8 declared wars and 12 undeclared wars, and it's 20-0 in favor of the Israel. Does that not tell you something?
Pretty good.
And if all of them predict, and including Isaiah, and I want you to read ahead Isaiah 9 next time for next class time, talking about Jesus, the Messiah, and talking about the kingdom of God. I've had so many people come to me before, and remember now, I used to have the same view. They'll say, Con, the kingdom of God is the church. And then I happened to think of what Jesus said to Nicodemus, that flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And you know, I like all of y'all today. I like many people in here. You've been former students. I like you. But Big Joy, you're flesh and blood. You're not made out of spirit, brother. You may be someday, but you're not now. I think the church is the called out, and I'm glad that we're all together, and I'm glad that we help each other, and we edify each other, and we try to improve our citizenship. But the kingdom of God that's coming, that's the pearl of great price, Jonathan. That's the reason why Jesus talked about the pearl of great price. That's what you want. You want to be a citizen in the kingdom of God. You'll be young forever, 28 forever. And ever and ever. You'll have something to do. You won't float around on a little cloud with undersized wings and look over some over, hey, Mark, what are you doing today? I kind of tuned my harp here a little bit, you know. That's how we picture heaven. But not according to these prophets. Jesus, the Messiah, who came like a lamb, will not come like a lamb the next time. He will come as the conqueror, the Lord of lords, the Prince of Peace, the great counselor, the great physician. There'll be no more diabetes, no more cancers. If you have a wife and she died recently, you'll have your wife with you. You'll be, you won't ever lose another being that you're close to. Now, I won't say that your wife will still be your wife, but I am saying that you will never lose a loved one again. According to Isaiah, a child will be able to crawl over a snake hole and not get hurt. that lions, and this is also true with Hosea. He said the same thing. And you may say, Con, you're a lunatic. You've gone too far, brother. I don't think so. Hey, we're just getting started. Isaiah will say the same thing that Micah did. Israel's going to be restored, and it has. And this great kingdom is coming with Jesus as the head of it. And you and I will be citizens. I don't make any apologies for belonging to the Church of Christ, although everybody thinks that I'm a secret Jehovah's Witness or I'm Jewish or a Seventh-day Adventist. I'm not. I'm one of you. I believe that baptism is necessary, and I am not ashamed to be a go to the Madison Church of Christ. I've been called a Campbellite just like you have, and that's fine. But I do not believe the earth is 6,000 years old. I do not believe that heaven is just mollified clouds of people playing harps. I believe it's like the prophets describe. They all are consistent. Now, one last thing here before we quit. I'm going to quit always on time. Next is Isaiah. Isaiah lives the same time as Micah. He's the first cousin once removed to the king of Judah. Now again, as we study Isaiah, he will use the terminology that you need to know. That all Jews are Israelites, but not all Israelites are Jews. You need to know that. You'll need to know the code names for Israel in the Bible as Israel, Ephraim, and Jacob, right? If you know that, it makes it so much easier to read. You won't make mistakes like the people on YouTube I refer to all the time who always find something wrong in the prophets because they get the two terms mixed up. Because Judah was reestablished. And in AD 70, and then really in AD 133 is when the nation of Judah, not AD 70, that's when Jerusalem was destroyed, but anyway. So if you think Judah and Israel are the same, then Amos 9:1 is no longer in effect. But they're not. There's a difference. Folks, I want to let you know I appreciate you letting me be your tour guide through the prophets. I love them. They introduce me to a world of the reality of God. Jesus not only was my Savior, He is my Messiah, and yours too. Every single one of you in here will live again. Death can't hold you, my friend. That hospital bed, you know, we're all going to die, but it won't be able to hold big joy seals. Big joy seals will live again. And I'm glad. Anyway, till next Sunday, and we'll study Isaiah, and also we're going to talk about the devil. The Sunday after that, we're going to talk about Joseph Smith and the Mormons, and we'll be dealing with Jeremiah. Until then, so long, friends. Thank you, brother. Thank you.
All right, we get this.
Oh, yeah.
Get the rest of it.
This could hurt me socially, you know.